This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. That peace of mind means so, so much for these families. So join me in helping St. Jude in this fight. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
So my wife loves this TED Talk about doing a 30-day challenge. She was like, you need to do something new and creative. She laughed at me when I said it was going to be a TikTok channel. She was like, what are you going to do on TikTok? And I was like, maybe I'll tell music stories. I know a lot of good music stories. And she's like, nobody is going to want to see you tell a music story.
Episode 397. His name is Patrick Hicks. He's somebody that I followed on TikTok for a long time. And then I just thought, it was one of those eureka moments. Eureka! Let's get him on the Bobbycast because he is so knowledgeable about music. He has almost 500,000 followers now just from him getting on and telling stories. And all he does is put the phone up next to his face. Pretty close.
Yeah.
It's right on him. And he's always on the same couch and he tells these stories, but you never really know who he's talking about till he gets to the end. He'll be like, yep, he grew up a small boy in a farm back in Minnesota. And you know what? He loved to play soccer. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's Brandon Flowers from The Killers. Now, that, I made the whole first part of that up. But he walks you through his whole story without saying who it is. And so he's just real good. And so from that, I thought, let's get him on and talk. And that's what we did. We talked about a lot of stuff. I mean, I can say who we talked about, right? Because we didn't run like his bits.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, like the one about Third Eye Blind, super cool to me. Even when I was watching it on his Instagram or his TikTok, I was like, wow, really? There's the Tanya Tucker one that's really interesting too. So we go through a lot of the stories. We also talk about him. I mean, normal dude, like went to law school, right? Yeah. Was like an attorney that was like, I don't like this anymore. Still works, but started doing this, has, you know, built such a following, and now he's doing what he loves. It's the best in music from, you know, different genres, from fascinating, heartfelt, inspirational tales. His name is Patrick Hicks. Hope you check him out on TikTok. I hope you listen to this podcast, and I hope you check out his podcast. It's called Good Measure with Patrick Hicks. He also worked as a booking agent at Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A., so he's done a bunch of different stuff in music. And he was in a band, right? Punk band?
He was in a punk band.
What was your big takeaway from this?
Every story I wanted him to end with, and that boy grew up to be Bobby Bones.
All of them?
Yeah.
He also has a good culture. I don't know if we talked about this on his TikTok, where don't spoil it in the comments.
Yeah.
He won't take it down, but everybody else will run you over. And like, then they'll like everybody who's running you over. So yours isn't even in the top 10 or so.
Yeah. And it's crazy to get that many amount of views on a TikTok with like no text. Mm-hmm. No, it's just a straight story. It's
just him and his head telling a story. So here he is. I follow him. I'm a big fan. His name is Patrick Hicks, episode 397 of the Bobbycast. Patrick, let me say first of all that I'm a huge fan. And is that weird to hear from people that they're, because I am a huge fan of yours.
No, that's amazing. I mean, it's still weird. Yeah. It's, and especially coming from, you, that's, it's surreal. But yeah, I'm starting to get used to it a little bit. I've done some, you know, Zooms where I've set up some sponsorships and, you know, I've talked to people and they're like, oh my gosh, it's you. That's the brown couch right there. So that's, yeah, it's strange, but it's fun.
Where do you live?
I live in Chicago. So I live in a neighborhood called Albany Park. I just live in like a regular apartment on the third floor and just have this kind of not that expensive couch that is the star of my TikToks.
The kind of the genesis of me knowing who you are is probably the genesis of everybody knowing who you are, where I'm a massive music fan. And I've worked in all formats. And
yeah,
I grew up in Arkansas, so I'm obviously a massive country music fan. But... you know, I worked in pop and hip hop and alternative. And so I just love music. I love classic rock. And I think because I search for so many things on TikTok, you kind of came in my algorithm. And I was like, oh, this is an interesting kind of deal. I didn't follow you the first time. About the third time, which is pretty quick, I was like, I got to follow this guy because of how he how he tells the stories. So when you first started, you know, your first one, two or three TikToks that you made, did you start telling the story where you're like, this is the story, but I'm telling it in a way of a lot of this stuff you had no idea until you reveal who it's actually about?
No, that was never the plan. And a lot of people kind of compare it to Paul Harvey. That was like, that was not really an influence. I didn't really think of that. No, when I first started, it was just, here's some stories I know. Kind of off the top of my head, like here's some fun, like stories I know just from years of like reading music biographies and watching documentaries. And then as I kept going, I started doing more research. They started becoming more involved. And then I did one on Nine Inch Nails. And as I was doing the research, I was like, you know, a lot of people might not know that Trent Reznor's middle name. His first name is Michael. And as I was doing more research on it, I was like, you know, if you didn't know you were reading about Nine Inch Nails, you would never believe that this story is going to lead up to Trent Reznor, because he is this very straight-laced kind of Boy Scout. He, you know, he was inspired to get into music by an Eagles concert. There's all these kind of things that I thought was interesting. And I was like, you know, if I just told the story saying this is about a guy named Michael who was a hardworking janitor who was recording music at night, it would be a big surprise when you found out this was Trent Reznor. So it was kind of just going to be a one-off for that story. And then people responded to it like so well of like, oh my God, the reveal was so cool. Then I was like, hey, let me try this a couple more times. And then people were like, I make a game out of it. You know, this is like the best game to play, is to try to figure out how fast can I figure out who you're talking about. So then I kind of fell into that kind of being my thing of like, I don't want to let people down if they're literally playing drinking games trying to solve the musical mystery. So it definitely has evolved over time, but that was not the original plan, but it seems to be working.
Yeah, it does seem to be working. That is an understatement. So I want to do a couple of things, and I kind of want to bounce from stories that I've seen from you that I'd like you to at least talk about a little bit, but then also your life.
Sure.
Also, the TikTok growth that you've had. So we're going to kind of walk three linear paths at the same time, if you're cool with that.
Love it.
Okay.
Sure.
One of the ones that I watched of yours, and I've seen them all, one of the ones, because I like to play and I like to try to figure it out. And some of them, again, because I do feel like I'm pretty well-versed in a lot of different music. The one that blew my mind, and I'm not going to say who it was, and you don't have to do exactly like you did, but the band that proved everyone wrong. Like,
oh, okay.
That was the one that I was like, dang, he got me. I got to get him on the show. So just talk me through the band that proved everyone wrong.
Sure. So starts with a guy who I called Steve, who I believe does not like being called Steve, but, you know, to obfuscate a little bit. So start with a guy named Steve who grows up mostly in the Bay Area in California. And his dad is actually a professor at Berkeley. And he grows up and he has a lot of struggles growing up. You know, his parents are divorced. He has dyslexia, which is a issue for him succeeding in school. And he at one point has this teacher, like a sixth grade teacher, who tells him that he'll never even graduate high school. Like basically, like, you're never going to be anything. So he's, of course, determined to prove her wrong and, you know, prove everybody wrong, and doubles down. You know, his dad is a professor, so his dad helps him. he does end up graduating high school, ends up going to Berkeley for college, and he studies English literature and, you know, does very well. But then he starts to get into music. So in high school, he's a drummer. He drums in some rock bands. But then in college, he starts getting into hip hop. So this is like the 80s. You know, he's starting to get inspired by the rap, you know, boom, especially in the Bay Area. A lot of cool stuff happening there. So he starts this rap group with, it's him, it's this rapper from Detroit, and it's this two-man, you know, rap duo. And they don't have a ton of success, except they get a song on the Beverly Hills 90210 soundtrack. It's like real random, but they reach out to them to do this song. He'd never seen the show before, but he was like, you know, this is an opportunity, so let's do it. Has the song. The name of the rap group, they're called Puck and Natty. And it's a play on, there was like a Bay Area jazz group called Tuck and Patty. So weird name, weird sound, you know, he's white, the Detroit rapper is black. So it's like a, you know, mixed race hip hop duo. And it's not like, you know, it's not hardcore. It's not like Gangstar or something. It's pretty like poppy hip hop. Then they have this song on the Beverly Hills 90210 soundtrack. And that's about it. That's like the height of their success. They go their separate ways. They break up. And it seems like, man, what am I going to do? You know, it's, he's a few years out of college, and so he puts together this rock band, and he says like he has all these songs in his head, but he hasn't, he doesn't have a band to get together, and like nothing is working out finding band members. Finally he finds this guy to play guitar, they get some other people, they like get a solid band, they get a little bit of a following in the Bay Area, and they finally end up getting signed. There's a lot more interesting stuff to how they get signed, but eventually they get signed, and they sign with Elektra Records because what they really want is creative control. So they sign with the label that will give them creative control. They're on the same page. They let Steve produce the album himself, co-produce it, but where the only part where they have a fight is over the first single, because they have this song that's actually a throwback to the Puck and Natty days. It's kind of like the verses are rapped by the lead singer, and they feel it doesn't really represent the rest of their music. They don't really want to put it out as the first single, but the label's like, nah, this is going to be a hit. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird song, too. It has a chorus that basically is a bite of Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side, and the lyrics are filthy. The lyrics are about sex and drugs, like hardcore drug references, but very poppy, like very radio friendly. And so the label wins, and they put out the first single, which is Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind. And they were, the band is right, it doesn't sound like the rest of the record, but the rest of the record is amazing. And you know, that there's five singles off that, which is crazy, all hits. And that first record, you know, blows up and goes, whatever, went double platinum or something. I mean, one of my favorite records of the 90s. But that song is a throwback to this hip hop duo that he had. And then an interesting thing that, like, I didn't even get time to tell in the story, but he apparently lived up the street from where Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes worked. And they would hang out. She was like a waitress, and they would hang out, and she played him, you know, the Four Non Blondes song, What's Up, and he played her Semi-Charmed Life. And, you know, like, oh, these are the songs we're working on. And he's like, thinking back, it was like, you know, millions and millions of records sold from those two songs that we played when we were starving artists. But yes, that's Third Eye Blind.
That's such a good story. And it's like that. You know what it felt like to me when you ended it was I see dead people, and you finally realize that he's a ghost. And you're like, oh, because you called him Steve. And what I start to do, because you will drop little crumbs. You got to identify the crumb, because sometimes I go after crumbs that aren't crumbs. And I'm like, okay, he said square house. And by the way, I've missed whatever else that I was supposed to catch. So that Third Eye Blind one was so good. And with your music knowledge, like, what is your music background? Did you ever have a job where you're like, managing somebody, you're booking somebody? What is it for you?
So I was a little bit like, I had wanted to work in the music industry. I played in like punk bands my whole life. And I went to this place in Hollywood called the Musicians Institute that had like a music business program. I was not like a great student. I didn't go to college after high school. I eventually went to community college. But at the time, I in my early 20s, I was like, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go to this music business school. And then I got an internship. And then I worked for a little bit at the Whiskey A Go-Go in West Hollywood. So I was a booking agent there. But I did not take the music business by storm or anything. And I kind of like realized this is not, you know, like going to be a career. So eventually I went back to school and I went to law school. That was really my only foray into the music industry. I thought like, I got to do something else to, you know, have a career and have like a more stable life. And then as a hobby, I started doing music stuff. And then now I'm hoping maybe I turn this hobby into my career and I come full circle. So I don't know. We'll see.
You went to law school. Are you a lawyer?
No. So that's what I thought I was going to do. But yeah, no, I went to law school and I kind of did all the stuff you're supposed to do. I got good grades my first year. I got like a summer job at this prestigious law firm and I just hated it. And I was not good at it, I'll be honest. And the feeling was mutual. They were like, man, you're not going to work here, which is kind of like impossible. Like almost everybody who gets the summer job, they hire you after graduation. And they were like, Patrick, no. It was one of those like, everybody who's going to be working here, take a step forward. Patrick, not so fast. So yeah, so I graduated without a job. And then I was like, the experience I got actually, you know, working in a law firm, I did not want to be a lawyer. So I just, you know, transitioned to a kind of like JD preferred job. So it helps that I have a law degree, but I don't actually have to practice law.
So the fact that you do these TikToks, and I assume that takes up a lot of your time because you have to research it. And people, I think a lot of people, myself included at first, was just like, man, he's just rolling this stuff off the dome. But then I started to realize because there was so much information in them that you were really putting in a lot of work to make these things not only entertaining but informational and also a game.
Yeah,
like it's both of those. Can I try to figure it out? Is this what you do all day?
No, so no, I do have a real job. I have like a regular 9-to-5 and I just squeeze it in when I can. You know, at night I have two little kids, so trying to put them to bed at night, that's when I'll be doing my research. After they go to bed, a lot of times I'm recording. Lunch breaks, I'm researching. So it takes up a lot of time. It's like all my free time, basically. But yeah, I do also have a job and a family on top of that. But I do like doing it, so it's all fun. So,
and this all started because I was reading about a 30-day challenge. Your wife, was she the one that suggested the 30-day challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife loves this TED Talk about doing a 30-day challenge. And it's basically like, do something for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, like you could have a product, like write a book, you know, work on it every day for 30 days. At the end of it, you have written a book. Maybe it's not a good book, but like you did it. And so it's just kind of, you know, a way to like get something jump started. And, you know, we always just like to stay creative, do different creative projects. She was like doing an NFT, like she was learning all about getting into the NFT world, and she designed her own thing and put it up for sale. I don't know. We're always just trying to like do different stuff. And we both were obsessed with TikTok. Like we watched it all the time. And so she was like, you need to do something new and creative, do a new 30-day challenge. And I was like, what if I start a TikTok channel? So all the credit to her for the inspiration, but I will say that she laughed at me when I said it was going to be a TikTok channel. And she was like, what are you going to do on TikTok? And I was like, maybe I'll tell music stories. I know a lot of good music stories. And she's like, nobody is going to want to see you tell a music story. So I do rub it in her face a lot. That
you're Stephen Jenkins. There we go. You're Stephen Jenkins, and she's a sixth grade teacher. That's what it is right there.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
So my guy here that runs all the video is really good. His name is Reed. You're not going to be able to see him, but Reed, will you pull the microphone up for a second? So I want to move over to a story. Reed, have you seen all the stories?
I have not, okay. Actually.
So if you don't mind, Patrick, I would like for you, and I want Reed, when you think you know it, just raise your hand and I will stop you and I'll stop Patrick. But I want, Patrick, if you don't mind, would you please tell the story that is titled The Rapper Who Got Exiled?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's going to tell the story. Reed, this is what I do. I watch him, and I see when I can figure him out.
Okay.
And when you think you know it, just raise your hand, okay?
Okay, okay. Got it.
Okay, so this has to do with a rapper doing a promotion that was in conjunction with Walmart. And he's doing this online promotion where whatever Walmart in the United States that fans pick, this rapper will go to this Walmart and do a special appearance there. And it's going to be based on a fan vote. And so this rapper is one that is a little bit memeified online. And so some people in the online community thought it would be fun to mess with him and send him to the most remote Walmart humanly possible. And a lot of people are in on it, but it's really spearheaded by this journalist who worked for this website, Something Awful. And so he kind of starts this petition. He starts this hashtag exile blank because they find a Walmart location in Alaska, but not even like in Anchorage, in like an island off the southern coast of Alaska, where like a population of a couple thousand people. And it's like a Walmart that only it has like, you know, hunting supplies and snowshoes. It's like a very specific Alaskan Walmart, and it's the most remote one possible. And so, of course, it's a fan vote, so it starts getting all this attention, and it wins by a landslide. I think it's a Facebook vote, but yeah, so this location in Alaska wins by a landslide. And this kind of stuff has happened before with like online votes, and there's usually like a disclaimer, like we don't really have to go by what the fans say. Like if you know the story about Bodie McBoatface in England, they didn't really name the boat Bodie McBoatface. Like they reserved the right to not do it. So they could have backed out. They could have been like, this was obviously rigged. We're not going to send this rapper to Alaska. But the rapper is like, I'll go to Alaska. He's like, you know, there probably are some people there who like my music. I'm going to go to Alaska. So he goes, and this guy who was the kind of spearhead of it, David Thorpe, I think was his name. Walmart is like, do you want to come too? This could be like a good opportunity. But they weren't going to pay for him. They were like, you have to meet us there, but you know, you could go. And he was like, well, no, I can't afford to fly to Alaska for a joke. And Pitbull was like, bring that guy too. I will pay for him to go. Oh, I gave up the name myself.
That's all right. That's okay. Right. Finish the story.
So it is Pitbull. So Pitbull goes to Alaska and does this promotion at this rural, remote Walmart. He brings in David Thorpe, who like does photos with him. And it's like this amazing experience because it's this big deal for the town. Like everybody comes, they have like traditional Inuit dancers there, and he gives like this motivational speech. It actually turns into this like super beautiful moment. And then David Thorpe tells this great story where he's like, I got to talk to Pitbull, and, he's worried, like, is Pitbull going to be mad at me? Like, does he know I was making fun of him? And Pitbull basically is just like, there's an expletive involved, but I'll bleep it. But he's basically like, you know what? Keep messing with people. Next time, we'll be on the moon. I was like, that's the best Pitbull line you could ever have.
So, again, it's one after another, these awesome stories. But this isn't the first time that I think that you've been creative. Have you written, because obviously there's a lot of writing that goes into this, have you been a writer at all in other ways?
Yeah, so I always kind of felt like I was supposed to be a writer. My parents are both journalists, so I've always kind of like wanted to be a writer in some capacity. You know, I had like an MP3 blog back in the day when those were cool, and yeah, I've just like, I've written screenplays. That was like kind of my hobby before I got into this, which I didn't even like think of it, but most of them did involve music in some way. But yeah, so I've written screenplays, I've written like articles. Yeah, I had a podcast. Like, I've just always been doing creative stuff. I've never been just a guy who does a job and then, you know, goes home and watches TV. I just like, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's just, I've always been doing something creative to be happy, you know?
My wheelhouse is probably 90s alternative because that's when I grew up, and that was music. Yeah, it's like music that kind of spoke for me. I felt like country music spoke about where I was from, but I didn't feel like it really spoke like how I felt. But then you had all these bands, then they're like, I'm sad, I'm angry. And I was like, yeah, I'm 12, but I feel that. And so what's cool for me now is I get to like spend time with these guys. And because, you know, they're 55, sometimes older than that, and just talk to them a little bit. And I was talking to the lead singer of Candlebox. I had him on my radio show.
And
I love Candlebox. Did you know that they were like not really well loved by that grunge world? Because apparently, I don't know, I guess they came in on the tail end, and since they were a bit different. What do you know about that? Anything?
I mean, yeah, I know, you know, it's like we didn't have this word back then, but the scene was pretty gatekeepy, and it was like, you know, if you weren't, I mean, I remember Stone Temple Pilots too, who I love. People were like, it's not really grunge, or, you know, there was just so much, especially in the 90s, of like, who's authentic, who's not authentic, did you come from this scene? It's like, do you possibly want to make money? If so, you're bad. It was weird. As a fan, especially as a kid, it's like, I loved all those bands. I loved Candlebox. I loved, you know, anybody who was on MTV. Oh, Silverchair was huge.
And they were kids, too, which I thought was super cool. They were like the cool Hanson dude.
They were like our age.
Yeah, it was like, you know, you had Hanson, and then you had like the cool Hanson from Australia. Right. When I was talking to the guys from Candlebox, a bit of the beef towards them was that they had like a song, and that song blew up so big it made them famous quickly. Mm-hmm. They had just almost formed, and that everybody was resentful because of, not everybody, but in that world, was resentful because they just got together, their one song blew up, and here they were playing bigger shows than a lot of the bands that were having success but had been together for 10, 15, 20 years or so. I just kind of thought that was...
Right.
That back from back in the 90s when everybody was supposed to not care, they sure did care a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was, yeah, if you didn't pay your dues, if it was possible you were, you know, an industry plant, if, you know, you were put together. I mean, that was the knock on, like, Weezer when they first came out. You know, Weezer got a lot of, you know, a lot of crap that they were, like, just corporate pixies or something. But, yeah, I mean... Doing these stories, every single band went through something. So, like, every band had failures. Every band had struggles. Like, nobody really was handed to it on a silver platter. But, like, you know, maybe you just didn't know. I mean, like, when Third Eye Blind came out, you know, I think, like, people didn't realize that this guy had been struggling for 10 years. I mean, there's so many bands like that where it seems like they came out of nowhere. But you don't know all the bands they were in before, all the stuff they went through, so.
Who do you love?
I mean, yeah, like you, I grew up with 90s alternative. I mean, seeing Nirvana for the first time was just like life changing. Smashing Pumpkins was another one that was big for me. Green Day. And then because I'm watching MTV, like I got into 90s hip hop too. So like, you know, right after Smashing Pumpkins, you'd see Snoop, you'd see Dre. You know, I was into Jay-Z and Notorious B.I.G. So really like, you know, everything.
We were lucky enough to have Napster. And the introduction of, it doesn't matter what your regional music store has or how much they have of it, because there is no regional music store on Napster. It's whatever you want, as much as you want it. And I remember I would be so upset with Metallica. I would be like, you shouldn't be downloading our music for free. And now as an adult, I'm like, I was an idiot. Like, we thought we deserved all that music work. We thought we just deserved it. But it did introduce me to... Again, I was a massive hip hop head as well. And there was a stage where I kind of got out of country music because I'd been in it for so long that we are lucky because we were here for the first part of kind of the digital music revolution where, I don't know about you, but I would just hit letter A and go to sleep and just download every song that started with A.
Yeah, I mean, that was so fun. The being like, oh, in the morning, I'm going to have an album to listen to. No, it's great. I mean, it's just weird because you can't outrun the technology. Like, is it right? No, but the technology exists. And as soon as you knew what the technology was capable of, you knew like it was over. And, you know, we've sort of come up with a solution with Spotify and stuff, but I mean, even that, you know, is not the best for artists, but it's just, there was no like putting the genie back in the bottle once Napster came around. So.
What about AI and these AI songs? Because I found myself enjoying some of them. I heard Kanye doing country music. I've heard Notorious B.I.G. Yeah. doing some N.W.A. stuff. And so, like,
yeah, I just heard that one.
The Eazy-E.
Yeah.
Did you? So
yeah, doing Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, right? It was so legit.
Yeah, I loved it.
What do you think about? Because personally, as a consumer, it's so fun to listen to. How do you feel as someone that is in the industry now about music and AI and how they can quickly make a song that actually wasn't created by anyone except a computer?
Right. I mean, it's so like the legal side of my brain is so fascinating because like, what are the copyright rules going to be? Who's, let's say you put out one of these AI songs and it becomes a hit. Like, who owns that song? Is it Notorious B.I.G.? It's not really him. Is it, you know, like the NWA, is it the person who created the AI, who told the AI what to make? Like, do they get any percentage of it? I don't know. So it's very fascinating for like, you know, there's all this kind of stuff where there's no rules. So who knows what's going to happen? Like, we're going to have to, you know, it's almost like the beginning of sampling when you had like glory days of 80s sampling, like the Bomb Squad and the early Beastie Boys records, where it's just like, let's take every single thing we can imagine and put it on records because there's no real rules yet. And then they had to have cases and invent, you know, sampling laws. So I think the same thing is going to happen with AI. Like, people are going to use this to make cool stuff, and then we're going to have to figure out like, okay, this is not actually ethical or, you know, legal to do. But it's, I mean, the possibilities are fascinating.
I would assume that what it derives from is who probably will end up making some money. Meaning, if they had to go and say this Biggie Eazy-E song, well, you've taken parts of Notorious B.I.G. Like, you've taken him doing something and used it and analyzed and made this song, and you've also taken a song that Eazy-E, the NWA guy, they wrote, whomever wrote it. And so I feel like it's going to be a split, almost like it is a publishing split.
Right. They're going to have to figure out the math on it. Yeah.
Even, but like AI, we'll just be, you know, duping around here because I'm in a comedy music group, and you can just tell it to write a funny song, and it's not that funny yet, but it'll write a funny song. And if we were to record that, I never have to admit it came from AI. I can just say I did it. There's nothing they can do about it.
Right. No, it's so fascinating. I mean, I tried it when ChatGPT first came out. I tried to get it to write a story in the style of myself. And like, it's not there, but it's pretty close. Like, it was wrong about a few things, but it gets you pretty close. Like, you know, It could get there for sure.
Do the child crooner who became a rock icon, if you don't mind giving me a little bit of that for our listeners.
Sure. So this one, I remember setting it up. I kind of gave away the reveal pretty early because it's pretty hard to disguise this guy's name. So I think for a while I just said, like, this kid. So this kid is from the Bay Area, Northern California. He's like 5 years old. He goes into this music shop. There's like the local music shop. And the family's musical. The dad is like a jazz drummer and, you know, some music in the family. And the mom maybe wants to get the kids some piano lessons. And the owners of the music store are just like taken with this kid. He's got this mop of like blonde curly hair. It's like this charming kid. So they're like, oh, can he sing? And he starts singing and they're like, oh my God, this kid is amazing. And it's like a big family, so money's kind of tight. So in order to get the piano lessons, the owners of this music shop also, the guy who owns it is a songwriter. And he's like, what if you have your kid record one of my songs? And like, I'll put it out on my independent label and then like, we'll give you some free piano lessons. And so they cut this one song with this little kid singing on it. And on the back, he only wrote one song. So on the back is actually an interview with the kid. And they put out, and I think it's like, you know, 500 copies or something like that. And it was, you know, not a hit. It was just circulated locally in the Bay Area. But if you have a copy of this, this 7-inch single, it's worth a lot of money because it's the first recording of Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. And then, but his name is Billy Joe, and there's no way to really hide that. Like Billy would kind of give it away, like, you know. So I kind of went early on that one. But then, I mean, the story is like just so fascinating. It gets a little tragic. His dad passes away when he's young, and that kind of forces him to just get deep, deep into music, and he becomes obsessed, and he takes guitar lessons, and then he gets into punk rock, and then he meets Mike Dirnt, who, you know, just becomes like his kind of musical soulmate for years, and then they start this band in high school, Sweet Children, and then a big part of the story, is Gilman Street in Berkeley, which, you know, is this famous music venue, and they get their start there. And then when the major labels come calling, they have this push between, if we sign with a major label, we're not allowed to play Gilman Street anymore, because they had a rule no major labels could play there because it's supposed to be a place for independent bands. But that's like where they got their start, and you know, all the bands they idolized, like Operation Ivy, were from there. So it was like, do we stay here and know we're never going to get bigger, or do we want as many people as possible to hear our music? And so obviously they opted for that one, and you know, became Green Day that we know and love. But yeah, he got his start on as a 5-year-old singing on this song, which I can't remember the name. It's something like For Your Love or something with love in it.
I think when I look back at albums that were very instrumental to my formative years, I mean, Dookie is probably a top 5 album for me because, one, it just had so many hits, but two, even when I started to learn how to play music, like the dream was the Longview bass line, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were so many parts of that record that affected me in so many ways. And the fact that there were only 3 of them, I saw them in concert. I've seen them in concert a few times, and I'll give you the quick version of it, that they, you know, they have people come up and play their instruments. Have you ever seen Green Day live, Patrick?
In the 90s, yeah, I saw them live. I think it was before they did the pull somebody up and play the instrument thing, which I love. I've seen it on YouTube.
It's awesome. So they pulled a guy and they're like, all right, who can play the bass? And the guy, kid, ah, who can play the drums? The drummer, boom, doom, doom, good. And then they bring the guitar player up and he's like, all right, let's get it. And the guy, kid sucked. He didn't know how to play guitar.
Oh, no.
Funniest thing I've ever seen. And Billy Joe's like, get the F off here. And he grabs it back and plays it with the other two guys. Like, one of my favorite concert moments ever. But Dookie was such a big album to me. Concerts, though, big part of, I'm kind of jaded now at this point, but for you, like, best concert ever, favorite ever.
So the best concert I've ever been to, hands down, was Prince. I'm a huge Prince fan, and I saw him on his Musicology tour, which is in the early 2000s. And like, I don't love stadium shows. You know, it's hard to get it to sound good, and you're way in the back, and you're watching on a monitor. You're like, I could have stayed home. But he was playing at the Anaheim Pond in Anaheim, and I just, you know, I got to see Prince. So I went, even though it was a stadium. And it was like the most intimate concert of my life. Like, I don't know how he does it. Somehow he made it seem like he was in my living room. Like, just the best performer I've ever seen. Amazing guitar player, like amazing singer. Like, it's just insane how much talent this one man had. And like in the studio and live, to have all that talent was just blew me away. But that was the best concert by far I've ever seen.
We interrupt this interview to bring you a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food. Everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month. And when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
This is the Bobbycast.
I used to live in Austin, Texas. Lived there for 12 years. And I went to this bar, small outdoor venue, but it was pretty, it wasn't like a grimy outdoor venue. It was kind of an upscale-ish version. And So I go and I didn't know they had any music because there really wasn't anything playing. There was no band set up. And I get on the elevator. And first of all, the elevator won't come down. There are only three floors. The elevator will not calm down. And I'm sitting there forever. And I'm also not going to walk upstairs because I don't know. I was a lazy loser. And so I keep waiting. And then it goes to two. And then it sits on two forever. And finally, it comes down. Bing, it opens. And in the elevator, massive dudes. I think four, possibly three massive dudes in this elevator. But I don't think anything about it. I'm just going to get in the elevator and go up. And so they didn't get off, though, was the weird thing. For some reason, it hit one. These big dudes stayed on the elevator, and they didn't. So, okay, well, they didn't come out, so I just got in, and I was going to go up to three. And I look kind of behind me in between the big dudes. It's freaking Prince.
Yes, that's so cool.
Tiny.
Did you say anything?
No, I didn't say anything. There were four big dudes in there that didn't want me to say anything. But I just remember being like, holy crap, that's Prince. And he was... And he had on tall boots, like heels, like. But he's still. I don't know how tall Prince is. You may, if you're
5'2".
He's a 5'2"?
Yep.
He was so small that I would have thought it was a woman. And to watch him play guitar, like literally one of the best guitar players. I don't think he even gets the credit for how good of a guitar player he is because he wrote and has so many massive hits where he sings that it's easy to forget how elite of a guitar player he was. I would watch some of these shows where he would be on stage playing guitar with other artists who could really play guitar. And it's like when you put Eminem on a track, like you don't do that because he will come on, and even if it's your song, it will then be the song that he'll take it over. And I think Prince is very underrated, and I think people are very undereducated on how great of a guitar player and musician that he was. Have you been to Paisley Park or anywhere like that?
I did, yeah. I went right at the end of 2016, you know, right when he passed away. They just opened, and I went. I have some family in Minnesota because my mom is from there, so I wanted to go see it right when it opened, and it's pretty amazing. Amazing experience. I mean, of all the artists, every story about Prince is insane. Like your story about meeting him and he's like four giant. Every story about Prince is insane and is like fascinating. But yeah, Paisley Park is really cool. Yeah, he was a special guy.
We were talking before we started this about your podcast. So just to go back over it with you, Good Measure with Patrick Hicks. So on this podcast, what are you getting into? Is it stuff that you've done on TikTok, or is it just your general music knowledge about things that have happened and are happening?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing it up. So originally I was like, a lot of people were asking me to do a podcast. And I was like, all right, I can just take some of my TikTok stories and do them in a podcast format. Then I was like, that's kind of cheating people. Like, I got to do fresh stories. So each episode is three stories, basically like what I would do on TikTok, but expanded out. So instead of 5 minutes, they're like 10 to 15 minutes and just more in depth. And then there's like a central theme. So like the first episode is about going solo because, you know, I was doing a podcast on my own. So it's like artists from bands that were not successful that then became successful solo artists. So three different stories on that theme. And then I bring in like clips of interviews and, you know, play the music, obviously. And it's just like a little more in-depth than the TikTok for people who want to go deeper. It's a little more serious. Like the, you know, the TikToks, I try not to be too depressing. So if a story is too tragic, you know, people might not want to watch that when they're scrolling through dance videos. But so we talk about a little more, some more of the tragic rock and roll stories like Elliott Smith and stuff like that, where it really kind of deserves more than just a couple minutes on TikTok. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. I'm doing it in seasons. That's kind of the only way to keep sane. So I just finished the first season, and then season two, TBD.
Good Measure with Patrick Hicks. If he likes TikToks, I think I'm going to go and
check it out.
Actually subscribe to the freaking podcast. Because again, to me, I'm lucky enough to get to have big stars actually come to my house, right? And it's weird sometimes when somebody comes into my house and we do this. But like, I was really excited to talk to you today because to me, you're like the coolest because you talk about things that I care about. I probably see you on my phone more than I see my wife. So two more things I want to do. So, and then we'll wrap this up. But will you give me the country star who wanted to rock? Because I think my audience will love that one.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't do this one as a reveal. Do you want me to do it reveal style or just regular?
I just think the story's so good. I just want everybody to hear the story.
Yeah, so this is about Tanya Tucker, who I was going to see. So I wanted to like do a story about her. First of all, amazing show. She's so good live. I really feel like no matter what style of music you like, watch Tanya Tucker because she like had the audience in the palm of her hand. But I wanted to tell the story of her like rock and roll record, which I thought was just really fascinating. So Tanya Tucker gets her start as a child star. She has her first, single when she's like 13 years old and is, you know, like anytime there's a child star, they're very like, okay, we want them to be a child and never grow up. And they're very like, she must be innocent and pure forever. And she has all this massive success. Like she had her greatest hits album when she was 15, which is just, you know, just insane pressure to put on a kid. So then she grows up a little and she wants to like expand and she wants to do this rock and roll record. And she gets this new management team who had never worked with a country star. They wanted to help a country star cross over. And, you know, she was big in country and she wanted to be like a superstar, you know, across the board, which I think she deserved to do, you know. She wanted to be like the Taylor Swift of her day. So she goes to put out this rock and roll record, But then she has this listening party in Nashville, and everybody like hates it. Everybody's like, what is this? And she's devastated. She's like, I've ruined my career by going rock and roll. And so the album is called TNT, which like you now you think putting it on, like this is going to be AC/DC or something. It's not that hardcore. Like it is very still like, you know, country rock. And she heard the rock and roll songs are like Not Fade Away by Buddy Holly, but kind of done in the Rolling Stones style. Chuck Berry, like Elvis, that kind of rock and roll. It's like, it's not that scary, but apparently it was like too much for people to handle. And she's like, that's it. I ruined my career. I destroyed my career. And then everybody sees the album artwork and it causes this like uproar because this innocent, you know, child star is now grown up and has like a sexy album cover, which looks very tame by today's standards. Like people probably might know the record. So like on the front, she has a microphone like cord between her legs and she's wearing tight pants, but it's still like pretty tame. And then on the inside, there was a poster, which is funny. If you watch like the, I think it's the A&E biography on Tanya Tucker. I think Travis Tritt is like, I had that poster up on my wall. I did dirty things to that Tanya Tucker poster, but it's just her in like a red jumpsuit and she's standing backwards and just tight pants and her back is out. It's really not that scandalous, but everybody, like the reviews were like, she's gone full sex kitten. Like she's, this is so scandalous. And she's not super proud of that record. Like she has said, like maybe that was a mistake, but it ended up being her biggest selling record. Like she, you know, she sold a lot of copies of it. I think it's not a bad record. But in her biography in the 90s, she said that she regretted doing it. But I like it. And she's just one of my heroes. Like, she's fantastic.
All right, final thing here. Everybody, go follow Patrick Hicks 82 on TikTok. And if you've listened this far into this podcast, you're obviously a music fan like I am. And so I just really recommend you do it. Also, the podcast Good Measure with Patrick Hicks. It is there for you. And so no spoiler on the story. I don't even want to ask you who's next because I won't get to play, you know, and I really look forward to getting to play. How many do you have done, written already as of right this moment? Last question.
None, really. So I don't write a script, so none are really written ahead of time. I do have one that's recorded and ready to go, but it's not really a spoiler. So if you saw the video I posted yesterday, it's actually just a continuation of that video. But that's it. I don't plan that far in advance because I kind of just go like, what am I feeling? It's still just a hobby for me, so I want it to be fun. I want it to be fun for me and like what story is grabbing me today that I want to tell. So I have no idea what's going to be next week. We'll find out. I have some ideas, but I have no idea what it's actually going to be.
He's rock and roll. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. He's just living life. You know, whatever happens, happens. Ain't no more rock and roll than that. Patrick, honestly, big fan. It's so cool that, you know, I mean, for me, this is the coolest thing that I get to talk to you. So thank you.
Dude, thank you so much. Yeah, anytime you want me back.
Oh, don't say that. I'll be calling you at home. Hey, man, we're not recording or anything, but you want to talk about... I'd love to talk to you again. Keep up the good work, and hopefully, and I do think it'll happen, you'll be able to do this for a living. Is that the goal?
Totally the goal. I mean, it wasn't when I started, but, you know, it's like cool stuff keeps happening, you know? I'm getting opportunities to do, like, partnerships with record labels and, you know, stuff I never thought was possible, so I'm hoping... TV show or sponsorship or something, you know?
That's awesome. Patrick, thank you for your time, buddy. Hope you have a good day.
Yeah. No, you too, man. Thank you so much.
All right. See you later.
Have a good one.
Love this episode of the Bobbycast? Subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.